House will come to order. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger. Blake.
Here.
Blickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley excused. Patterson.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Korberg.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Vronish excused. Wallace.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
58 present, 2 excused.
Please stand and join in the morning prayer with Father George Gotelos. He represents the Greek Orthodox Church of Saints Constantine and Helen. Welcome.
Eternal God, whose command is over all the earth, grant your almighty and most gracious protection to these men and women who serve our state. Keep them true to their best selves, guarding and guiding them in all things that they pursue. Endow them with courage that is born of loyalty to all that is noble and worthy. Make them considerate of those entrusted to their leadership. Grant that they may have the heart and mind to make decisions in terms of what is right and wrong. Give them strength and wisdom. Steady their faith if they are inclined to doubt. If they are tempted, give them strength to resist. Help them in work and in play to keep themselves physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Preserve, protect, guard, and guide these representatives. Permit them to serve and lead this great state, that through their faithful service, we will all be able to live in peace and serenity. Amen.
Please join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, nice to meet you.
Thank you. in a minute.
Yep. We're at that order of business, Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, the Journal Committee reports that the Journal February 17, 2012 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman, Representative Kasparik.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Members of the body, today I'd like to introduce you to my wife, Lanice, who is driven down to be with me for the first time since I've been here. Would you please welcome her? She's over here in this balcony.
Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
You could all turn your attention here to my left, your right side of the gallery, and the audience we have today, a couple folks from Rock Springs. Two of them are my constituents and good friends. First of all, Kevin Harper, who just moved to Rock Springs from Oregon. Max Lockett from Rock Springs. He actually last night delivered to me a kiss from my wife, which was somewhat unpleasant. And Carol Jellicoe from Rock Springs. They're here as part of the WE activities, so give them a round of applause.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Speaker, some of you will remember that my wife was the executive director of the Cheyenne Symphony for 9 years. Well, she retired a year ago from that great organization. And today, Kim Lovett, who's the new executive director of the Cheyenne Symphony, has brought the music director and conductor of the Cheyenne Symphony, Dr. William Introligator. They're on the north side, and this season is Dr. Introligator's fourth with the Cheyenne Symphony. In addition to his responsibilities in Cheyenne, William is also music director and conductor of the Dubuque Symphony Orchestra in Iowa, and he's performed with many distinguished orchestras throughout the United States. Both William and Kim invite you to spend the evening, which is Saturday evening, with the Cheyenne Symphony Orchestra for a night in Vienna. If you're interested, tickets are available at the Cheyenne Symphony. So would you stand and welcome William and Kim, please?
Thank you for your invitation, Bill Black.
Yeah.
In the group.
Yeah.
Do you have a list of names?
No. There's too many.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor. I've got a great honor to introduce several students from the Cody High School, which is from Park County. It's so good there's two number ones on our license plate that are here to educate and advocate on House Bill that I'm sponsoring. They did a great job in Judiciary Committee this morning. So please join me in welcoming Deb White's class, Youth for Justice, that are here in Cheyenne today. Thank you.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, ma'am.
It's a great pleasure to introduce you to our page this morning. He came all the way from North Liberty, Iowa to do this. He's already started a life of politics. He's the fifth grade representative to the student council. But he heard we do it right in Wyoming. So he came to see my grandson, Ethan Rundle. Welcome him to the house.
Representative Yagi.
Privilege floor, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir.
It's my privilege to introduce the other page, our full-time page, Parker Jackson over here. He comes to us from Lyman High School. I know his parents, and I've got a list of things, but we don't want to list them all or just tell you. Let me just summarize. Just a little thing like 4.0 and a 34 ACT and on and on, things like that. Math, he just goes on. He was our Boys State delegate from Uinta County, and then he went to Boys Nation. He's Senate Youth honoree, and he had to turn it down with a $5,000 scholarship to be a page because they were at the same time. So appreciate him being here. He's interested in state government, and, you know, that's kind of a neat thing, go back to Washington, D.C. He's active in, you know, student body and music and been to Waikiki with the marching band, Rose Bowl. He's lettered in sports. He's spelling champion, spelling bee champion, and on and on. But I'm just very glad to have him. I hope you appreciate him, and I'd like to tell you more, but he's just a wonderful young man, my good buddy. Oh, Eagle Scout, and I got to talk at his Eagle Scout Award, too. So, Parker.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I have a little more privilege of the floor?
Yeah, you sure can.
Thank you so much. I also want you to meet Ethan's parents, who also traveled all the way from North Liberty, Iowa. My daughter, Dr. Cindy Hill Rundell, and her husband, Scott Rundell. Please make them welcome. And also, up sitting next to them, the best neighbors, the best cat sitters, and the best friends anyone could have, my dearest buddies, John and Terry Bass. Please welcome them all.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 88, respectfully reports saying back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Peasley, Throne, No, Brechtel, Nicholas. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred House Bill 112, respectfully report saying back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Peasley, Throne, No, Brechtel, Nicholas. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 72, respectfully report saying back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 93, respectfully report saying back to the House with recommendation do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Freeman, Croker, Laux, Madden, Teeters, No, Connolly, Crone. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Joint Resolution 6, respectfully report saying back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Teeters, No, Madden. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred House Bill 82, respectfully report saying back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Gay, Green, Harvey, Miller, Peasley, Reeder, No, Barbudo, Kraft, Gingrey. Signed, Representative Harvey, Chairman.
We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move a consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 2, House Bill 4, House Bill 10, House Bill 11, House Bill 12, House Bill 13, and House Bill 36.
Does any member wish to remove a bill from the consent list? Mr. Reading Clerk.
I was waiting to have the order. Excuse me. House Bill 2, introduced by Representative Peasley, an act relating to service of process fees, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 4, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act regarding to Department of Transportation funding regarding the ignition interlock program fees, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 10, introduced by Representative Moniz, an act relating to game and fish regarding additional elk licenses, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 11, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to business entities revisions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 12, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to real property marketable title act conservation easements, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 13, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to property wind estate disclosure, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 36, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to paramutual events and permits, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Botten, Brechtel, Brown, Burkhart, Byrd, Campbell, Kennedy, Childers, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, excused, Patterson, oh, Peasley? Aye. Peasley, aye. Patterson, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Reeder, Roscoe, Simlick, Stewart, Stubson, Cheaters, Throne, Vronish, excused, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Harshman? I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 2, are there any changes? Childers, are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 4, are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 7 no, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 10, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 11, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 12, are there any changes? Miller, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. McComey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Wallace, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 7 no, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 13, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 excused, 1 absent. As to House Bill 36, are there any changes? Korberg, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Eklund, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Harvey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 50 aye, 8 no, 1 excused, 1 absent.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 2, 4, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 36 have passed the House. We're at that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 25.
House Bill 25, introduced by Representative Stepson, an act relating to real property, private transfer fee obligations, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one, and we'll remove it at the appropriate time. I just wanted the opportunity to chat a little bit about this bill, primarily because last week I think the bill's fine now. They've made a lot of changes since last year, and then somehow that got back to quite a few real estate agents that I wasn't fighting the bill anymore, and they were upset with me for not fighting it any further. I don't know if it's a bill like that's yet good, bad. It's just a policy decision. So I don't think there's anything wrong with voting for this bill. But I'll make the argument why maybe we should not vote for it, is that primarily the problems that we're seeing are from other states. We're not seeing those issues pop up here. And what I'm most worried about, and I think what some of these real estate agents are complaining about, is that this was a tool they could use, and now we're going to take away a tool of developers. And there's different, and this gets funny because different real estate agents say different things. You got some that like the bill and some that don't like the bill. It reminds me a few years ago we had that engineering and land surveying bill and they never could get on the same page. And so you have a profession that just can't agree on this bill and they go back and forth. And what I get the idea is those real estate agents that work more with big developers, you know, where you're building an actual subdivision, they like having private transfer fees. They can use them. Others that maybe don't want to see more development, but rather you buy homes already in existing neighborhoods are pushing it from that direction. So there's different economic reasons why you would be for them and why you would be against them. But most importantly, I just wanted to explain what they were. I don't know if we all quite get what a private transfer fee is. So let me give this example because this is where I've seen it used. Let's say I'm a developer and I have enough money. It's my land and I have enough money to develop a 50 lot subdivision. I have enough money to put in the infrastructure, the water, the sewer, all of that I have figured into my economic model. I'm ready to go. I go to the town council, or maybe it's to the county commission, wherever you have to go in your particular, wherever the subdivision is located. Let's say it's the town council. So I go in front of them and I say, here's my 50-lot subdivision. I'm all ready to go with it. And my, you know, I have all the money for it. And they say, you know what? That's a great subdivision. Really like it. But here's the problem. Your first 25 lots, we certainly have the sewer capacity for you. When you get to that 26th lot, that's where we're going to have a problem. So that huge, that sewer line that's down the street that has, that's not in your subdivision. So you hadn't planned for it. Now they're telling you, you're going to have to replace all that. You're going to have to replace that infrastructure. And that's pretty smart on the town's part, because they're saying, listen, we're not going to approve a 50-lot subdivision if the 26th lot causes us a problem. So, but you didn't plan for this in your economic model. So here's what you would do, and this is what people use these for. You put a transfer fee on every lot. So as you sell them, so each time it sells, let's say it's a $1,000 transfer fee on each lot. So then, by the time you get to that 26th lot that the sewer line needs to be replaced, you actually have $25,000 accumulated to go and put in that new infrastructure. That's how they get used. That's what people do. Mostly what you see is people do a one-time transfer fee. Where it gets confusing, and where the good representative from Casper who brought this bill makes a very good point, is when people allow these transfer fees to go on in perpetuity. That's where you run into a problem, because the other area that you see these used, and this is the one that people use as the example of why to vote for the bill. Actually, I'll use it the other way. What will happen occasionally is you will have a bill that, not a bill, you'll have a subdivision. You'll have a subdivision, and let's say, especially in my area, they always show up. Game and Fish shows up with this letter, and they're called moose habitat letters. And they show up, and they say, you can't build houses there, that's moose habitat. And so that suddenly you can't build your home on that in that area because there's moose habitat. And let's say you work something out, and you the county's going to let you go ahead and build there. An environmental group will show up, and they'll go, if you try to build there, we're going to sue you. As a developer, you're trying to just find ways to make things work. And so you sit down with the environmental group and you go, okay, I don't really want to get sued because I really want to do my development. What could I do? And so what they've been saying, and you see this in other states, not as prevalent here. I haven't actually seen it here, but maybe it has happened here. What they'll do is say, if you'll put a transfer fee, so now the developer doesn't have to come up with the money, but put a transfer fee on each lot, take that money and go buy appropriate moose habitat somewhere else. So you're transferring habitat. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. That's the prime example of what people use as why private transfer fees are not a good thing, because some people see that as, you know, that like extortion almost. I see it sometimes as you're trying to work something out. You're the poor developer. You're just trying to get your project done, and you're just trying to see what is the solution. Those are the two main examples that I've seen private transfer fees used. All I'm arguing is I'm not sure if we need to get rid of this tool. It seems to be a tool that some developers are using very usefully to build development, and I understand some people don't like development and you know, those types of things, but that's not really what this bill's about. It's just giving tools to a developer to move forward. Again, I think it's fine if we vote for this bill. I think all the motives of the good sponsor are appropriate. I just wanted to point out the cons to it. It's more of a policy decision, and I'm fine either way we go. I just wanted to make sure we all understood exactly that that for the most part they're used well. They have been used poorly in other states. And until we have more examples, perhaps, I'd hold off on doing this. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, you nip it in the bud now. You know, so now that I've completely confused you and let you go either way on this bill, thank you.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank the good representative from the northern part of the state for his soft sell. A response to those two examples that were utilized, that I would say that last one is a great example of why you do need this. Do you think it's more likely that an outside nonprofit, perhaps environmental group, is going to sue in the hope of getting a private transfer fee? Is that going to be more likely if we allow them or if we don't? If we don't allow them, you certainly are going to eliminate those sorts of shenanigans in developments in Wyoming. With respect to the first example, I would say that probably is an appropriate use of a private transfer fee, and I would also say that's allowed under this bill. This bill is narrowly tailored to ensure that in those circumstances where it makes sense, you can still use them. And I draw the body's attention to page 2, the definitions of private transfer fees under item A. As the good proponent of the amendment stated, you know, these most of those where you're trying to use it for infrastructure and those sorts of things are on a one-time basis. And you look at line 20 on page 2, if you're only talking about a one-time transfer fee, that's permitted under the bill. And so you don't need to worry about it. The other thing is that on as we go through the definitions and looking on pages 4, it makes clear that, you know, special improvement districts, homeowners association dues, all those sorts of things that you typically use to benefit the property you're developing, they're still available. After this, we don't want to limit the ability of developers to develop financing mechanisms for their developments. What we do want to do is eliminate those real catastrophes that could happen down the road if we allow private transfer fees and the kind of title problems that I described earlier. So please vote for the bill. I think it is a step in the right direction.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time. Prior to the sponsor, Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I have to be honest, that was very convincing to me, too. But I have all these real estate agents mad at me, so I'm going to vote no, but, you know, the rest of you do what you need to do. And I will withdraw the amendment at this time.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 25 having been withdrawn, and House Bill 25 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley, Peasley excused, Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlek,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stevenson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish excused, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Harshman. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blake? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 2 no, 2 excused, 1 absent.
House Bill 25, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 25 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 26.
House Bill 26, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to public works and contracts, contractor residency provisions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 26. Mr. Speaker, the reason I brought this amendment, it's identical to the second reading amendment, the second amendment on second reading that we defeated last time, and I wanted to bring it again just to discuss it. Here's the one problem I see. In this bill, we create a select committee, and that select committee is directed to do certain things, and I've chaired one of these select committees, and the difficulty that I ran into was that when my select committee finally completed its work and had a proposed bill, I had nowhere to go with the bill. I was like a stepchild, wandering around from standing committee to standing committee, trying to find a standing committee that would take it. And in all fairness, the chairman who's going to speak next did finally take my bill. And so I wanted to give another thought to this. If we're going to appoint a select committee, if we're going to put the money in them, these things are expensive, if we're going to let them go through the whole process, and if they're going to, in the end, develop recommendations and presumably suggested legislation, then I would submit they shouldn't have to go find a standing committee to accept their recommendation and move it forward onto the floor. Now, the alternative, and we're on third reading here, which I don't like, but the alternative would be to direct that some standing committee accept and consider the recommendations of the select committee. We didn't do that. I frankly didn't think about it until the discussion this morning. That would be an alternative. So that's the purpose of this amendment, is simply to allow the select committee's work to be put into motion and brought to the floor.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and with all due respect to my good colleague and fellow chairman, we did discuss this briefly yesterday, but there's merit in what we did yesterday, and I encourage you to resist this amendment. We do have as specific languages, if you want to look at it, on page 8, lines 17 through 23, that really answer the promoter of this amendment's issue. The committee will work. They will provide their information to the Minerals Committee, which is the standing committee, and they will take advice on that and then act depending on what's brought to them. So it wasn't a place where this select committee is out there trying to find some standing committee to take it. It's taken care of. And then there's also a philosophical issue that I'd like to just share with the committee, and that's the one I touched on yesterday. We have these standing committees that have the ability to vet things broadly as opposed to the select committees that often focus on a specific issue, and that develops some expertise. And I think we've done that in the area of contractor residency. We've worked very hard to enlist all of the people that are interested in this area. We've had them many times to the committee, and so we want to have that residual expertise evaluate anything that's brought to them. To delete what suggested to be deleted by this amendment and then change it to the select committee, replacing that, I think would be a mistake. I urge your vote no.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the problems that select committees run into, as I see it, is when they, if they bring it to the floor, then it's assigned to whatever committee that this was supposed to go to. And the members of that committee, maybe there's one or two members of that committee serve on this select committee, but the rest of them haven't had the bill explained to them. And they don't understand exactly what's gone on. So bringing the bill to the joint interim committee, the select committee bringing it and explaining their position and what it is, I believe is a better way to handle this, as is in the bill as it stands right now. Because then the whole broad committee, both House and Senate committees, will hear from the select committee why they've brought the bill in the form that the bill is in, and they'll be able to answer questions, and they still have time to ferret out or make some changes before it comes and is introduced in the legislature. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for a first time? First time, second time prior to the sponsor, second time. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, this is quite painful, but I think they're right.
You know what to do then, right?
That's even more painful. Mr. Speaker, I withdraw third reading amendment number one.
Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 26 has been withdrawn. What's that? Can we do the vote first? House Bill 26 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Breftel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lebno.
Aye.
Madden.
Oh.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley. Peasley excused. Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish excused. Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 26. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 26 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 38.
House Bill 38, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation of coal severance tax industry factor, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 38, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Escobel.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lebno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Conflict.
Miller. Conflict. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Roscoe.
No.
Roscoe conflict. Roscoe no. Semlich.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish excused. Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Davison, aye to no. Barbudo, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 6 no, 1 excused, 1 conflict.
House Bill 38, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected, House Bill 38 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 52.
House Bill 52, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to the establishment of private roads appraisal costs, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 52, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown. Burkhart,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic, Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Cheaters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch excused. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 52, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 52 has passed the House. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my many years in the legislature, this will be the first time I've seen an occasion when one engineer and his logic prevailed over two classical lawyers and their oratory. And so I want to thank you all for bearing with us on House Bill 26 and passing it. It's a good piece of legislation.
We're at that order of business, consideration of amendments to rules. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment to Rule 28-1A, and I will briefly explain it and then turn it over to the sponsor that brought it before the Rules Committee. What it does is, right now the rule is that all bills shall be printed and distributed to all members at least 24 hours prior to consideration. So that means, like, the printed copy has to be on your desk and sit there for 24 hours before we can do something with it. What this would do is say, or posted on the legislative website with written notice of posting distributed to all members. So you would get a notice at your desk that something's been put on the website, and then you could go to the website to find it. It's my understanding, and she's not here now, but it came from the representative from Cheyenne. Oh, she's standing right next to me. Oh, my God. That's what I was looking for. I will turn it over to her to finish explaining it.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My apologies to the good Speaker Pro Tem. I didn't mean to scare him. This has not been so much of an issue this budget session, but 2 years ago during the budget session, you may recall that we had significant delays in the action because we were waiting for bills to come back from the printer, although most of them had been filed and available electronically for a substantial amount of time. I think this is a rule in the digital age we need to adopt. Folks would still have plenty of time to review bills, and I'm guessing that in most cases, if not all cases, the hard copy would be on your desk well in advance of actually voting on it. It just isn't very efficient the way the rule's written now. I think 2 years ago there was a breakdown of the printers and we had like a big stack of bills that didn't get back very quickly. So I think it would promote efficiency during the budget session and I urge you all to support the rule.
Anyone else for their first time? All right, the question is, shall the proposed amendment to House Rule 28-1A pass? It requires a two-thirds vote. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart. Lockhart. Lockhart, aye. Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish excused. Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 6 no, 1 excused.
Having received approval of two-thirds of the members elected, the proposed amendment to House Rule 28-1A has been adopted. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment to House Rule 8-5B. This is the second one that came out of Rules Committee. Rules Committee met the other day and reviewed rule recommendations, changes from different members. This was the second one. What this one does, and just to explain this real quick, so bills that either A, have an appropriation already in them, so somewhere in the bill it says appropriate X amount of dollars, or number two, if it requires an appropriation, so maybe like the bill doesn't actually have the appropriation, but if you read the fiscal note, it's going to cost X amount of dollars, or a change in funds. So instead of taking it from tobacco funds, you're going to take it from general funds, something like that. Those are three reasons why a bill would have to be re-referred to appropriations. Let's say a bill came out of labor, you know, due pass, it would come down here. If it had an appropriation on it, it needs to be re-referred to appropriations. Appropriations just looks at the appropriation part of the bill, and then they pass a due pass or do not pass, and it comes back down here. Okay, so here was the issue that we were just trying to clarify, that there was a concern that potentially, and certainly this, not now, we're thinking in the future, theoretically, that you could potentially pocket veto a bill in appropriations, meaning the bill is referred there and it never comes back from there. So what this says is, what's been added is, it shall be reported to the chief clerk for placement on the general file promptly and on or before the last day scheduled for consideration on general file. So the bill needs to come back before the general file's, the last day of general file. Then the second sentence, what that is saying, this is more what this bill's about, is it's solving a quandary that's out there. So let's say you make a motion, I move a due pass on this bill, and let's say this gets done in appropriations, and it fails. Let's say it's a vote of, only three vote for a due pass. And no one makes another motion. I mean, no one makes the next motion of, well, I move a do not pass. So no, even though it failed, there is no recommendation to come back to the floor because the do pass recommendation didn't pass. And no one made a second recommendation, such as do not pass. So what this is saying is, because there's this other rule, Rule 4.3, that says all bills have to have some recommendation, what this is saying is, notwithstanding Rule 4.3, so forget about Rule 4.3, even if the bill has no recommendation, it needs to come back down to the floor. And it will be reported that way, that appropriations had no recommendation for that particular bill. I think I explained it as well as I understood it in rules committee. So if someone understands it better, they can explain it.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And as chairman of the Education Committee, oftentimes we change different components of the model. We change a ratio, a student-teacher ratio. That has implications that are not reflected in the fiscal note. And so my concern is, and I've done it both ways, there's been times when I've sent that bill onto appropriations, and there have been times when I haven't. And I guess from your explanation, I'm still not clear as to whether or not those bills need to go from education to appropriations.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the Chairman of Education has raised a really good point. There was actually a third amendment that we were considering to better clarify that, and we did not bring that forward. It did not get enough votes because there is this confusion as to when does a bill need to be referred on to appropriations? And I think the best answer actually came from the good representative from Sheridan. He pointed out that if something's being referred there and you don't think it should be, you always have the option of suspending the rules. And the good representative from Sheridan can explain that in much more detail than I can. But it was an interesting way to solve that problem without having to amend the rules, because we couldn't agree on when a bill should not and when it should go. And so we just said, you know, all of them should just go. But if you really have an objection, you could move to suspend the rules, was sort of the answer that came out of Rules Committee.
All right, the question before us is whether to adopt the suggested amendment to House Rule 85-B. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly. Kraft. Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic. Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick. Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish excused. Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Berger?
No.
Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 33 aye, 26 no, 1 excused.
Having failed to receive the approval of two-thirds of the members elected, the proposed amendment to House Rule 8-5B has been defeated. We are at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just as an announcement for everybody, House Bill 88, the Cody Youth for Justice DUI Penalties Bill, will be the first bill we discuss after lunch, so add that to your list right there at the after lunch tab that's on your list. With that, I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into committee of the whole. Representative Kraft.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration today is House Bill number 15. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 15, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to insurance surplus lines. This bill was referred to Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Yellaway, Yeagy, Croker, Patton, Frosco, Stubson, Swanister, Dand, signed Representative Yellaway, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Yellaway?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 15 do pass. There are no amendments, and I would like to take a little time and tell you about this bill. Some of you may realize and know that the Corporations Committee gets some very interesting pieces of legislation, and generally the Insurance Commissioner is one of those that reports to the committee, and he brings various pieces of legislation that refer to our insurance statutes. What I'd like to do is to give you just a little bit of background on the bill and the reason for bringing it, and then a quick summary of the bill. The Wyoming Insurance Department licenses property and casualty insurance companies to transact the business of insurance in the state of Wyoming. These licensed insurance companies are also referred to as admitted insurance companies. Non-admitted insurance is property and casualty insurance coverage that is exported to insurance companies not licensed in this state. Non-admitted insurance provides coverage when insurance is not available through admitted insurance companies. This often includes coverage for high-risk exposures or higher limits of insurance than available in the admitted market. Non-admitted insurance includes surplus lines insurance and independently procured insurance. Now, last year we passed a bill that was a stopgap measure, and this is the full bill that we want to discuss. Admitted insurance companies report and pay premium taxes directly to the state of Wyoming. Licensed surplus lines brokers report non-admitted insurance policies and pay premium taxes on those transactions. Chapter 11 of the Wyoming Insurance Code sets forth definitions, eligibility standards for non-admitted insurers, procedures for transacting and reporting non-admitted insurance business, and requirements for non-admitted insurance tax payments. And we worked on that particular piece a year ago. Prior to July 2011, Wyoming laws required surplus lines brokers to report and pay taxes on insurance covering a subject of insurance resident located or to be performed in this state. The tax payable was computed upon the portion of the premium which was allocated to the risk or exposures located in this state. A single policy with multi-state risks or exposures required brokers to comply with the laws regarding reporting and tax payments in each state included within the policy. In other words, if you were an insurer and you were insuring a company that had multiple refineries, one in this state, one in Colorado, one in other places, you would have had to report the tax to each state. Under the federal legislation, the Non-Admitted and Reinsurance Reform Act was also called the NRRA, was included in the Dodd-Frank Financial Services Reform Bill approved in July 2010. This act requires that states adopt nationwide uniform requirements, forms, and procedures, such as an interstate compact or agreement that provides for the reporting, payment, collection, and allocation of premium taxes for non-admitted insurance. The provisions of this act were effective July 2011. The federal legislation established the principle of home state authority. The placement of non-admitted insurance shall be subject to the statutory and regulatory requirements solely of the insured's home state. This requires that all premium taxes be reported and paid only to the insured's home state. The states may enter into an interstate compact or agreement for the purpose of allocating premium taxes and adopting uniform requirements and procedures. To preserve premium tax revenue, during our last session, as I've previously said, the department asked and the legislature adopted definitions and authority for the commissioner to enter into a multi-state compact or agreement. That law was effective in July of 2011. Wyoming Insurance Department has undertaken a further review of the non-admitted insurance laws and requests some additional legislation. Currently, Wyoming and 10 other states have entered into the Non-Admitted Insurance Multi-State Agreement, NIMA, N-I-M-A. The participating states represent 22% of the surplus lines marketplace based on 2009 data. These include the states of Alaska, Connecticut, Florida, Hawaii, Louisiana, Mississippi, Nevada, Puerto Rico, South Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming. The participating states are currently working on establishing a clearinghouse and tentatively plan to be operational in July of this year. Now a brief summary of the bill, of House Bill 15. The proposed changes in Chapter 11 surplus lines adds new definitions and requirements based upon those found in the Non-Admitted and Reinsurance Reform Act of 2010. In addition, since the federal law contains references to the most current NAIC Non-Admitted Insurance Model Act, the pertinent sections of the existing laws have been amended to be more consistent with the Model Act. Where appropriate, Chapter 9, Article 2, Insurance Producers Licensing of the Wyoming Insurance Code has been updated to include surplus lines brokers licensing in those sections where the requirements are similar. Wyoming Statutes 26-11-112, surplus lines brokers license, includes additional surplus lines licensing requirements which are unique to this particular license type or for ease of reference. Now I can go through page by page, but I will defer if there are any questions, or call for the question.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is, in my opinion, a fairly complicated piece of legislation, and obviously, those of you who know me, when the word Dodd-Frank was mentioned, my antennae went up. So I just need to have the good chairman of corporations explain to me again if the purpose of this bill is to meet federal requirements and what are the consequences, I mean, if we do not implement this. In other words, would we be doing this, would this be a piece of legislation we would be bringing forward anyway? Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to address that
that question since I'm on the committee, and I think those of you know me know that when I hear Dodd-Frank, my radar goes up too, and I think this is a good bill. The gist of what this bill does is allows for less red tape for companies. An example that was given to us in committee is, let's say there is a corporation that owns multiple ski resorts, and they own 10 ski resorts in Colorado and 2 in Wyoming. Well, under if we do not adopt this bill, what that company will do is declare Colorado their home state, get insurance on all of all 12 of their ski resorts, but because Wyoming does not participate in any kind of agreement with other states, we would not get our share of taxes that was collected on the premiums. Those taxes would be collected in Colorado, so the insurance company is still paying those taxes, but they would be collected in Colorado and kept in Colorado. By entering into this agreement, it allows Colorado to collect those taxes for us and pass them along to us, and allows us to do the same for other states, and prevents insurance companies having to try and file in 3, 4, 5 different states if they have operations in 3, 4, 5 different states, and it simplifies things and allows for sharing of premiums that are already collected.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I won't belay the conversation relative to tax, but it does provide for a cooperative means of handling the tax and the distribution by percentages of the amount of volume that a company has in a given state. This is not a bill to satisfy federal requirements. As a matter of fact, pay attention to this. This is a bill that keeps the insurance industry in a free market, not at the will of the federal government. So I think that's an important key that we have. We are trying to manage voluntarily, by virtue of these agreements and these statutes, the cooperation between the several states and not having it go through a federal agency. Excuse me, I urge its support and adoption.
Is there further discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Illoway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 15 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 15 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 5. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to insurance, life and health insurance, guarantee association limitations. This bill was referred to Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections and Political Subdivisions, and they recommended do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illoway, Yeagy, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Stubson, Swanister, Dand, signed Representative Illoway, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illoway?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 5 do pass. There are no amendments. And the good representative from House District 22 will explain the bill.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a far simpler bill, also brought to you by the Insurance Commission. It simply increases the limits and annuity and health insurance benefits, liability of life and health insurance guarantee association. So this association, what it does is it provides a safety net for insurers in Wyoming that fail. What this bill does is just adjust the limits in the funds and the benefits for this association that this association might be liable for. It increases these funds. We're one of 11 states that hasn't made this adjustment. So I urge your support. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Question on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill Number 5 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 5 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 16. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 16, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to insurance code revisions. This bill was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yeagy, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Stubbs, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with recommendation that House Bill 16 do pass. There are no amendments, and I'd like to explain the bill. This is another one of we had three insurance bills come to us in committee this year, along with our redistricting. This particular piece is insurance code revisions. It modifies some provisions relating to maintaining NAIC accreditation and relating to financial solvency of insurers. It authorizes some premium rate adjustments by the commissioner, provides for judicial review of commissioner decisions, provides for consideration of protection of creditors and suspension or revocation of certificate of authority, provides guidelines for suspension and revocation of certificates of authority. It adjusts risk-based capital requirements for life, disability, and health. Just to go through the bill briefly, on page 2, we talk about judicial review. Any order or decision of the commissioner pursuant to this title shall be subject to review in accordance with the Wyoming Administrative Procedure Act. Down at the bottom of page 2, we talk about suspension and revocation of certificate authority, discretionary and special grounds. There are several amended sections, and then there are several new sections to bring this act up to standards with the NAIC accreditation. On page 3, we talk about adverse findings reported in financial condition and market conduct examination reports. We talked about audit reports, actuarial opinions. In the middle of page 3, we talk about other financial analysis, solvency tools, and reports that are used. On the bottom of page 3, whether the insurer has made adequate provision according to presently accepted actuarial standards of practice for anticipated cash flows. On page 4, we talk about whether the insurer's operating loss in the last 12-month period or any shorter period of time, excluding net capital gains, is greater than 20%. This is another solvency requirement. Whether the insurer has failed to meet financial and holding company filing requirements in the absence of a reason satisfactory to the commissioner. At the bottom of page 4, whether management has established reserves that do not comply with minimum standards established by state insurance laws and so forth. Top of page 5, whether management persistently engages in material underserving that results in adverse development. We go on and talk about whether transactions among affiliates, subsidiaries, or controlling persons for which the insurer receives assets or capital gains. And then another new part, which is any other finding determined by the commissioner to be hazardous to the insurers, policyholders, creditors, or general public. On the bottom of page 5, under the commissioner's authority, there are several new and amended sections again. For the purposes of making a determination of an insurer's financial condition under this code, the commissioner may make appropriate adjustments, including disallowance to asset values. The commissioner may, if the commissioner determines that the continued operation of the insurer licensed to transact business in this state may be hazardous or injurious to its policyholders, creditors is a new section there. We talk about correct corporate governance practice. We talk about providing a business plan to the commissioner in order to continue to transact business in the state. The bottom of page 6, adjust rates for any non-life insurance product written by the insurer that the commissioner considers necessary to improve the financial condition of the insurer. On page 8, we talk about risk-based capital reports. An excess of capital over the amount produced by the risk-based capital requirements contained in this article and the formulas, schedules, and instructions referenced in this article is desirable in the business of health insurance. Accordingly, health insurance should seek to maintain capital above the risk-based capital levels required by this article. Additional capital is used and useful in the insurance business and helps to secure a health organization against various risks. On page 9, we talk about the company action level event, which means any of the following events. If a health insurance organization has total adjusted capital, which is greater than or equal to its company action level, the risk-based capital, but less than the product of its authorized control level, and it triggers some trend tests, and they're noted on page 9 and on the top of page 10. In page 10, we talk about confidentiality, prohibition on announcements, and prohibition on use and rate making, the comparison of a health organization's total adjusted capital to any of its risk-based levels is a regulatory tool which may indicate the need for corrective action with respect to the health organization and is not intended as a means to rank health organizations generally. And on page 11, we ask that the Act is effective in July 1st. And that is the bill.
Chairman Quarberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I do have a good couple of questions regarding this piece of legislation. On page 4, I'm just wondering what the difference is. We get down to line, page 4, lines 16, and then again on line 20, we refer to whether the insurer, and then, but on line 20 now, we've now changed and we're talking about management. So I guess I'd need some explanation as, and again, then on the top of page 5, we've switched gears and now we're talking about management. So if someone could just explain to me the difference between the insurer and management, that would be my first question. And we can go one at a time or I can run them all up the flagpole. My next question is on page 5, and I'd just like an example of lines 13 through 15 about any other finding that seems fairly open to just about anything that the commissioner would deem to be hazardous. So that's kind of a concern of mine.
Let's try to take it page by page if we can, Madam Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
That is your pleasure. Chairman Elloway.
The insurer is the company, and the management, of course, is the management of that company. And what it's trying to say is whether the insurer has failed to meet financial and holding company filing requirements in the absence of a reason satisfactory to the commissioner. And then it's whether management, that's the people that manage the company, whether management has established reserves that do not comply with minimum standards established by state insurance laws. Are they trying to do something that's a little shady? This is the beginning on page 2, which talks about suspension and revocation of certificate of authority, discretionary, and special grounds. It is a long section in Wyoming statute that the NAIC has said to be able to check on the insurer's whether it's an operating loss, whether they fail to meet financial and holding company standards, whether management, those people that run the company, have established reserves, what's going on with the company. It's a way to make sure that the insurance company is solvent And that's what most of this bill talks about, is to revise some of the codes, the insurance codes. And as you remember, several years ago, we had some insurance companies that that might have done some things that weren't quite up to snuff. This is a way to be able to check those insurers that they are doing things correctly. The other question was, and why this, any other finding determined by the commissioner to be hazardous to the insurers, policyholders, creditors, or general public. We've gone through a long list, and if you'll take a look, that line 13 says is number 21 in Romanets. So we've gone through 20 Romanets of how this insurance company is taking care of things, whether it's got adequate provisions, its financial analysis, solvency tools, and so forth. And it comes down to any other finding determined by the commissioner to be hazardous to the insurer's policyholders. In other words, is there anything else that we haven't thought of that might have a problem when they're going through the solvency of the company?
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll just have to do a little more research. I still really don't understand the difference between the company and management, other than if I understood the good chairman of corporations. Some companies are actually managed by a totally separate entity that has some control, has obviously quite a bit of control over the way they do business. That is different. Its management must be higher up than the company. It can't be management that's hired by the company, if I understand what the good chairman of corporations explained. So I'll have to come to terms with that. And then my only other question was on page 6, and I just could not recall, and I know the good chairman of corporation knows the answers to this one. Do we allow, in other instances, the insurance commissioner to adjust rates? I just can't recall if we do. On page 6, line 21, where we're allowing him the authority to adjust rates. So if he could just refresh my memory on that. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Representative Patton.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I'll answer the first question. The distinction that they were trying to write into the statute is the distinction between what you can do with an insurer being the company. The only thing we can do is to have a rescission of their ability to do business in the state. Whereas with the management, we can make suggestions, or the insurance department can make suggestions, to try to get them into compliance or try to get them into a position to prevent them from failing, as opposed to watching them fail and then suspending them. I'll yield the floor for your second question to Chairman Illaway.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. You have to read the paragraph of 6. Notwithstanding Wyoming Statutes 2614-102, 2619-304, 2621-109, 2623-326, and 2634-109, the commissioner's authority is to adjust rates for any non-life insurance product written by the insurer that the commissioner considers necessary to improve the financial condition of the insurer. So they can do some things, adjusting rates for non-life insurance product written by the insurer where the commissioner considers necessary to improve the financial conditions of the insurer.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess to make my question, I did read the entire paragraph. What I want to know, is this the first time we've given the commissioner the authority to adjust rates, or have we given him authority in other parts of the insurance statutes to adjust rates? That was really the essence of my question. Is this a brand new policy decision we're making here today to give the insurance commissioner the authority to adjust rates, or have we done it other times, other places in our insurance statutes before this piece of legislation? Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't recall those statutes right offhand, but I believe we have given the insurance commissioner that right, because if they're not charging, if they're not doing the rates, the insurance commissioner can suggest that they raise the rates so that the insurance, that company, stays solvent.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Is there a question on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 16 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill number 16 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 27. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 27, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to the legislature extension of Energy Producing States Coalition. This bill is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Hunt, Kasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stepson, Zvonisher, Dave, signed Representative Lockhart, Chairman. The bill was further referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed Representative Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Since it was referred to appropriations, let's call on the appropriations chair and ask for her statement.
Chairman Lockhart, would you be okay with moving the bill first and doing your amendment first?
Maybe I need a little bit of coaching on protocol, but I think the last chairman's committee makes that motion. But if not, I'll be glad to do it. Okay. Madam Chairman, I move that House Bill 27 do pass as amended, and that we turn the explanation of the appropriations discussion over to the appropriations chair, and then the explanation of the bill to our majority leader.
Chairman Lockhart, I've been advised that we have to do your amendment first. So if you could present your amendment.
Thank you. I represent Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, which was what took it, I thought, to the Appropriations Committee. But basically, it increased the amount of the appropriation because of the need for additional meetings. So I'd move the support of the Amendment Number 1 and a vote aye.
Is there discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1? Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. The amendment is adopted. Standing Committee Number Amendment Number 2, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 and ask for your favorable aye once they made the increase for the coalition, then this gives them an extension to 2014 on the funding. So I ask for a favorable aye.
Further discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 2. Question having been called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and I apologize to the House for being as ragged on this as I am. This is our first one this way. I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill and the appropriation to our Majority Leader, and he's at the back podium. And I'll stand by for questions also.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Last year in this legislative session, we tried an experiment, and I'm here to report to the body that it was a vastly successful experiment. What it was a coordinated approach between the states who produce energy to talk about pushback on federal regulations and coordinated approach in controlling the things we can to develop a national energy policy. As you know, we haven't had a national energy policy ever, although we've been debating one since the mid-1970s. And this process has allowed us some very high-level communications amongst states. During the last session, or the last interim, we had two meetings, one in Salt Lake City and one in Anchorage. If you look on your desk, the meeting in Salt Lake City set forth the goals and objectives of the Energy Producing States Coalition. You'll see that with a label that says House Bill 27 and my name on it, and the goals. Since then, we've been very successful in a difficult effort in pulling together folks who will meet on this bill. Those goals that we set were with the states of Utah, Wyoming, Texas, and Alaska. At the meeting in Anchorage, we added North Dakota to that list of states. We've had a sharing of legislation and some goals. The best example of copying from our legislation is that in the state of Alaska, who is looking in great detail at our taxation system. With the legislation passed by their former governor, their severance taxes go up to 95% of all oil and gas produced on their slope. What they're finding is that's driving development away from their state into international development with Russia and Canada, not unlike the example of this state and our state to the north with coal in the 1970s. So they're looking at our tax scheme. We've also, as you've noticed, had some bills. The amendment is for two-year financing. This type of project is difficult. It's working because we get together and share good controversial ideas and take a stand. The expense is 1/100,000th of our state's mineral revenues. And so I would urge your support of the bill.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 27 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill number 27 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 41. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 41, introduced by the Select Water Committee. An act, it's the Omnibus Water Bill Planning, an act relating to water development projects. This bill is referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zwanitzer, Dan. The bill was further referred to Appropriation Committee number 2, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace. Signed, representing Berger, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Semlek?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Bill number 41 do pass. And I turn the explanation of House Bill 41, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, over to the good representative from House District 10.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is the Omnibus Water Bill Planning part of our water development in the state of Wyoming, and the funding is for planning and the study of projects, and we call it level 1 and level 2. I won't get into detail on that. The water development has the oversight of the director and the staff of the water development, and has a Water Development Commission, a Select Water Committee, and the Ag Committees all combined to help with the water development in the state. There's a sheet on your desk. It's kind of a condensation of what projects are under planning right now. I have a lot of respect for this whole process and for how the projects are reviewed, the feasibility studies, the engineering studies, cost studies. All of it is done to avert problems that might arise because of water projects around the state. We're kind of short on money this year with is what I'm hearing with our budget, and so there might not be a lot of money for local governments, extra money for local governments. I think we can all go back to our constituents and say that this is one of the ways we fund local governments. It's a huge chunk of money, and everybody benefits at some point in time from the projects that are here. They're municipal waters as well as irrigation and other development projects. Thank you.
There further discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Semlick's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 41 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. House Bill 41 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 28. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 28, introduced by the Mineral Committee. An act relating to Environmental Quality Council Executive Secretary. This bill is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Greer, Kasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Stubson, No, Byrd, Hunt, Roscoe, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 28 do pass. And further, there was no standing committee amendments, but there will be a Committee of the Whole amendment, and I would like to have that explanation by the good representative from House District 56.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And maybe if Mr. Chairman could move that amendment, then I'll explain it and we can.
I'll move the Committee of the Whole amendment.
Thank you. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The this bill was an interim topic of the Minerals Committee and really was intended to address an absence in statute of any sort of explanation of how the executive secretary of the EQC would be appointed, how they might be removed, and there was just some thought that left questions about to whom the executive secretary was accountable. The process we went through is sort of lengthy discussion about, well, who should be responsible for that, what should be the input of the council, and the product of a compromise essentially is what's before you. And that gives both the governor's office and the EQC involvement in the appointment and the removal of the executive secretary. It works sort of like we handle judicial nominations in the state, where the EQC chooses three candidates, forwards those names to the governor, and the governor appoints one of those three candidates. And that appointment is then done with the advice and consent of the Senate. With removal of the executive secretary, there was some discussion about you don't want the executive secretary is responsible for sort of organizing the meetings for the council, getting materials together, does all the it sort of runs the EQC, and so we didn't want a situation where the council had a director that they couldn't get along with, and so we really in the removal part of it we gave dual authority, and we said that both the EQC or the governor could remove the executive secretary. And so it ensures that the executive secretary remains accountable to the EQC, but it also gives the governor some authority and an elected official some authority over who serves in that position. There was some discussion upon introduction about the duties of the executive director of the EQC, the executive secretary, and really it is the chief administrative officer for the council, puts together, arranges for the meetings, and all that sort of administrative stuff that you would expect. With that, the amendment, there was some concern that our bill would simply do away with the EQC as of, or the executive secretary as of July. We wanted to make sure that that appointment can continue until next year, when a appointee by the governor would be able to go before the Senate for confirmation. So that's sort of a thumbnail sketch, but I'd be willing to answer any questions you may have on the bill.
We're on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Is there further discussion on the amendment? Question being called on the amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to just bring up an analogous scenario that's probably closer to me than what this issue is with House Bill 28, and it really has to do with a livestock board who has a director, and the director is hired by the livestock board, and I like that relationship, and the reason is because, for instance, there could be an unpopular decision coming out of the state veterinarian's office that would suggest that it would have some impact on a particular political or industry group out there, and that group could come to the governor's office and say, well, we can't, you know, we got to be cautious about this. We don't want this to happen. So if you can track my analogy, I just think you have to be just a little bit cautious here of going down that road and investing all of our authority within the executive branch when, in fact, councils and boards at times have to make very difficult decisions, and those decisions, whether it's with the Environmental Quality Council, whether it's with the Livestock Board, have to be done as apolitical as possible. So no deep feelings one way or another, but just a slippery slope. Where might this go?
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and thank you to good representative from Natrona County for providing more information about the bill. But I still have not heard a good answer to a question I asked on introduction, which is, what is the policy motivation behind this change? As the good chairman of Ag just stated, this is contrary to the way the other independent boards operated. The Board of Equalization Executive Secretary is appointed by the board. The entire staff of the Public Service Commission, which is a huge quasi-judicial agency of the state, they appoint their own staff. The governor does not play a role in that. And the reason for that is that these folks have to operate independently. Now, with the Environmental Quality Council, which I've mentioned I've practiced in front of for 20 years, and I think I currently have 2 or 3 cases pending in front of the Environmental Quality Council. The Environmental Quality Council is an adjudicatory body that handles appeals challenging the Department of Environmental Quality decisions. The director of the Department of Environmental Quality is, of course, appointed by the governor and approved by the Senate. And so the Environmental Quality Council has to remain independent. And so now you're giving the governor control, large, substantial control, over their staff. And that just flat doesn't make sense to me, because another one of his agencies is frequently subject to the jurisdiction of the Environmental Quality Council. And if you look over the history of these quasi-judicial agencies, whether at the state or the federal level, keeping them semi-independent is a key feature. So again, I don't understand the policy reason behind appointing this person through the governor's office, and one still has not been provided, other than it's not in the statute, but hasn't been in the statute since the 70s, and we've functioned just fine. So I don't understand that as an overriding policy concern. Thank you.
Chairman Long. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to maybe answer a couple of those questions, there is ambiguity in the statute right now. If you look at the bill that's before you, you can see the underlined, underscored language is the new language, and the existing language is there in the middle of page two, and you can see that there's absolutely nothing about hiring a director. I mean, there's not even authority to hire a director currently in the statute. And so this provides clarity of how are they hired, how are they terminated, and so that really is a policy matter, is important, I think, to provide that clarity. The as the previous speaker spoke, you have a council that is appointed by the governor, and then the Senate confirms that appointment. So this is, I don't think you can say that this is a board that's entirely independent from any political considerations when they are appointed in the first place. All we're doing is taking the person that puts together and is, here, let me read you just, this is from the department narrative that's submitted to committee number two, and it says, the director trains council members in hearing procedures, provides legal advice, does training in environmental subjects, and then hires consultants, handles legislative work, handles scheduling. Those are the kinds of things the EQC executive secretary does. And so it seems to make sense that if we have some political input, if we make the people that are having the decision-making authority answerable to the people's elected officials, that it makes no less sense to include the person that's sort of directing that work and make them answerable to elected officials. And that's all we're doing. I mean, it's not, it seems to me to make sense that anywhere and everywhere you can, where it makes sense, you make officials in the bureaucracy answerable to those who are elected to represent the people. And that's all this bill does.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Chairman, just a couple other things. I don't ever want to discount the importance of the work that an executive secretary does. As outlined by the good representatives from Natrona County and House District 56, there are a lot of those duties. And those of you who've been on committees, you know how important these jobs are. So when we stepped into this, we found that there was no established process for how that person was selected. As a matter of fact, in the most recent meeting, the discussion was the first one was chosen. Nobody remembers how, because it was probably in the late 80s, or maybe late 70s, early 80s, and so there was no precedence. When that person retired, then there was nothing in place to use for a pattern, and they went through a process that I think was a quality process, but it was uncertain. And then once you've hired someone, what about termination? And so we took that on as something that should be done in just an efficient way to operate a very, very important executive secretary function for our state, and this is the bill. I think clarity is one of the issues. I think that when you have uncertainty, things can happen. I do think it's important that the one question that we were asked about the bill, which was, how about the existing executive secretary? The amendment clarified that this was not anything that would terminate that job or that person on July 1, as was guessed by some people that have also contacted some of the Minerals Committee members.
Representative Dan Swanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Just to give a little more information, this agency, this is a three-person agency. There is a secretary, executive secretary. There is a IT support slash paralegal position, and then an administrative secretary who answers the phones and sends email. Three people. Quasi-judicial, have a seven-person board of people who all have masters and PhDs. This is a group of people on the Environmental Quality Council who can certainly govern and oversee themselves and are not unintelligent, certainly. We did set this up in the early 70s. We had a full reorganization of government in 1989. At that point, we considered these changes to quasi-judicial agencies, and we made no change then. We said this is how it should be. This is how we're going to keep it, same way as equalization, same way as Public Service Commission. So the question again is, what has changed since 89? We've had 40 years now with this. We're talking about uncertainty. What uncertainty is there? Have we had any problems? I would submit to you not. And I don't think there's any real need for this bill this time. This certainly wasn't on interim topics that Management Council assigned to the Minerals Committee, but somehow it's still gone on the agenda, and now it's a committee bill, and now it's here before us. So I, again, ask the question, what's the impetus for this bill? What has changed? Why now? Why in a budget session? Why not the other quasi-judicial agencies? Why are we not talking about them? Why are we targeting one agency and going after it that has three people in it to make it subject to the governor? Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just to give the body a little more insight into what this person does, my office had to call the EQC the other day and change a pre-hearing conference because I'm here. That's what this person does. That's what the executive secretary of this agency does. It's a scheduling function. They don't play a policy role. They can't communicate stuff, information to the council except in public meetings other than ministerial. Everything they do is public. We don't do this for the Board of Equalization that I'm aware of, which handles our revenue appeals. So again, I am struggling as to why we're singling out one job for one small agency and not letting the citizen board that the governor appoints. I think that's something important to remember. The governor appoints the Environmental Quality Council. If the governor doesn't like what the Environmental Quality Council is doing, how they are rendering decisions, then the governor doesn't reappoint those people. And they're the ones responsible for the cases and managing their docket, and they need to hire the staff. And if you inject the governor into that process, then you've tainted the independence of a quasi-judicial agency. And again, no one has stated clearly, other than maybe this is a cleanup, that we need to do this. This is not something that's an appointment that's worthy of a Senate hearing. This person is an administrative staff person. So I guess my questions haven't really been answered this morning, and I'd urge you to reject this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 28 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, this bill, having failed a voice vote, a standing division vote is required. All those in favor of House Bill 28, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll. Barbuto.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
No.
Flickley.
Aye.
Fawner.
No.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman. Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No. Aye.
Crone.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Miller. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Petrov.
No.
Korberg.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Roscoe.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
No.
Vronish excused. Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 27 aye, 32 no, 1 excused. Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, House Bill 28, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Representative Pedersen.
Madam Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Brothers and sisters, it's pretty rare and special deal when we get a former Speaker of the House to come visit us here. But it is even more rare and special when you get a future Speaker of the House to come here. And today we have three up here in the West Gallery. You got my two little alpha males, Brock and Dane Pedersen, my little princess, Ia, accompanied by their mother, my muse, Sarah. Why don't you welcome them?
Once again, welcome to the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is that part on your agenda where you insert as the next bill, House Bill 88, DUI penalties. With that, Madam Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
Committee announcements. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet about 12:20 so that some of us can go to the CSG lunch in room 302, and we will discuss then House Bill 17, Budget Hearings, House Bill 34, Subdivisions, Consideration of Schools, House Bill 35, Notarial, Certification of Business Entity Instrument, and House Bill 65, Banks, Authorized Investments. Thank you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet 10 minutes upon adjournment in room H17 to hear the following bill, House Bill 113, Critical Access Endowment Challenge Program. Please note House Bill 75 has been withdrawn by the sponsor from the agenda for tonight, and so we will replace that with an update from the Attorney General regarding the lawsuit with the federal government over the Affordable Care Act.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 21st, 15 minutes after adjournment. We will hear our final bill, which will be House Bill 48, 80 miles per hour speed limit. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
For the committee announcements, you've heard the Majority Floor Leader's motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. The House will rise and sit again at 2 p.m.